Second Corinthians, chapter 2. Like I say, I don't think we'll finish today, but I do have my notes all finished. And we will back up in chapter 2. If I get 1 Corinthians instead of 2, I think we'll probably be okay here. Let me get back on. Let's just go back to verse 9. Lord said, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save or except the Spirit of man, which knoweth no man but the Spirit of God? Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. A lot said here, but the main thing to get out of all this is that everything we are as Christians is a gift from God. Everything in our life is a gift from God. We never need to forget that. And it's easy to, isn't it? It's easy to forget sometimes. We get arrogant sometimes. We get prideful sometimes and thinking that we're doing things, we're accomplishing things, we're going places, when all the time we're just going as far as the Lord will take us, and accomplishing the things that the Lord graciously gives to us to accomplish. And that's as far as it goes. It doesn't go any further. We were born at enmity with God. We were born totally depraved, born with dead spirits. And the grace of God by the Holy Spirit and his Son Jesus Christ has redeemed us and caused us to be God's children. And through that gracious gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit has come into our hearts. He resides there. He stays there. He will not leave us. And he's constantly teaching us things, building us up, edifying us, so that we can honorably serve our Father, honorably serve our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. So we got down to verse 15. So we just like 15 to 16, but I do have a lot of scriptures. It says in verse 15 again, we'll read, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. The word judgeth means to scrutinize, or to search, or to investigate, or to discern in order to learn so that you can judge your walk in life as concerning God's law. We can't judge God. People judge God all the time, don't they? They ask God, why did you do that? Why did you allow that to happen? Why did all this rain come? Why did these hurricanes come? Why did these fires happen? Why does death happen? Why does children die? Why do school shootings happen? People just keep asking God like they're going to get an answer. God. The answer is right here in the Word of God. It's our fault. We're responsible. We are responsible as human beings. Even as children of God, we're responsible for a lot of things. People are responsible for their sins to God. And here we are questioning God, trying to judge God and what God is doing. We don't know God. We don't understand God. We only know and understand what God has given to us to learn and understand of Him. It's a gift. God lives by God's laws, doesn't He? He doesn't live by our laws. He's not answerable to us. Ever. Why does death happen? It's easy, isn't it? Sin. Lord promised Adam and Eve that if they eat the forbidden fruit, they'd surely die. And Adam brought sin and death upon all mankind. For we are all sinners because of Adam. The soul who is enlightened by the Holy Spirit has learned. My soul has learned. Your soul has learned. But learning is not enough, is it? Well, people quote a lot of scriptures, but they don't obey the scriptures. They sing songs with scriptures in them, but they don't obey the scriptures. People wear clothing with scriptures on them, and they don't even obey the scriptures. It's one thing to learn. It's a great thing to learn, isn't it? Because God's teaching us, isn't it? But learning makes us more responsible to walk, doesn't it? You know why lost people are not responsible to God's law? Because they're dead. Spiritually, they're dead. They don't know God's law. They don't understand God's law. They think they know God's law. People can sit there and tell you all they know about God. The problem is they don't know anything about God. So they're not responsible to God's laws because they're already dead, aren't they? God's not going to hold them responsible for things they do by breaking His laws. They're dead. They're going to hell. God's already ordained their punishment. Us. This is the problem with a lot of Christians today. God has showed us things, and once we learn them, we're responsible to them. Lord tells us to look into the mirror of scriptures and judge ourselves, doesn't He? And we can't pick and choose what we like or don't like. We have to go by what God teaches us, don't we? So when the Holy Spirit enlightens us, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Isn't it great to know about God? Isn't it great to know that God is sovereign? Now, when you think about things, when you go through life, you treat God like He's sovereign. You don't forget it. You don't turn around and say and moan and say, "Oh my, oh my, oh my, Lord, please help me. I don't know why I'm going through this. Why?" Well, God's putting you through it. There's a reason and purpose God put you through it. It's a reason and purpose. You are where you are today. You are not here by accident. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 down, read it. God builds the churches. He puts every member in it and sees how many there. He says, spiritual judge of all things that God taught him to judge. Because if God has not taught us, we are spiritually ignorant and unlearned. God hasn't taught you, you do not know the truth of His Word. You may think you know the truth. You may swear you know the truth. But if God has not taught you the truth, you do not know the truth. You cannot just open the Word of God and learn it. You open the Word of God, you read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will teach it to you. How many times in the Scripture, especially in John, does God tell us the Holy Spirit teaches us? I mean, how many times does God have to tell us that the Holy Spirit teaches us before we understand that the Holy Spirit teaches us? That's the thing we judge. We judge ourselves. We judge our families. We judge our churches. For the truth. For the truth is all that matters. It don't matter if we got 10 people, 5 people, or 50 people. As people will tell you, in the business, that's beyond my pay grade. It's not my pay grade. It's not your pay grade. That's God's pay grade. Just metaphorically and figuratively speaking. So he goes on to say that in verse 15, yet he himself is judged of no man. This is a Christian's biggest flaw. Not only do we judge each other, we judge God. We have no right to judge God on anything. We judge each other on the Scriptures, don't we? But we also have to consider that it's not people's fault they don't understand some things. I've talked to Christians. I've talked to devoted, loyal, good-hearted, wonderful Christians who will do anything in their power to serve the Lord. And they only know a handful of things in Scripture. It's true. You try to tell them. You know, do you understand what apostasy is? We are actually living in a world, a time, a sphere called apostasy right now. Been going on for quite a few years. I mean, there's no more going to a revival or a Bible meeting or a Bible conference where you have to open up the window so people can hear outside. That was before my day. Brother Hammond used to tell me the Divine Baptist Church, the old Divine Baptist Church, would see about 80 people. The old building had 3 rows, one on the right, one on the left, and one down the center, kind of like Oakdale. And it wasn't quite as big, it wasn't near as big as Oakdale, but it would see a lot of people. But when they had a Bible meeting, or when the Horace went up there, or Charles went up there, or one of the other, like Brother Ozier would go up there, people would surround the building. They just had to open the windows. That's before my day. Now, you all probably know that time. Or you heard about it yourself. We're all over here. We had a good crowd for our Bible conference, didn't we? Wasn't big enough. See, apostasy is when people fall away from the Lord. They fall away from the teaching of God's Word. They need to judge themselves. But see, the problem is, why did apostasy happen? And why is it happening? Anybody know? God ordained it. God said it would. Didn't it? I can preach and preach and preach. These other preachers can preaching. But people have tuned us out. It wasn't too many years ago, the hits on our website used to be people listening to the audio. My audio, Brother Horace's audio, Brother Charles' audio, Brother Moser's audio, the Bible conference's audio that we had up. That's what they listened to. People would drive down the highway, listen to our audio. They don't do that anymore. When you travel, how many times do you sit down and listen to preachers going down the road? You can tune them in, you can get them on your phone. How many times do you do it? Not very often, do you? But you probably used to do it. I did. I don't do it much anymore. I'm busy talking. Rebecca and I are talking, or my travel Ronnie Trail, we talked a lot. The rest of the long music or something, that's it. See, that's what I'm talking about, folks. That's the change. It's not just them, it's all of us. We're all responsible. It's happening to all of us. We simply do not know what God's doing. We can't judge things if we don't know what God has ordained and what God is doing in this world. It used to make me angry when I was working for Hopkins County in Sulphur Springs and sitting out on the road crew, sitting there eating lunch with a bunch of Pentecostals and Camelites. Sitting there having to try to explain to them how Jesus Christ is our Savior. And they're sitting there trying to explain to me how we had to work to get to heaven. Laughing at me. All of them gang up on you and they just laugh at you. But it's not their fault. Why would I get angry at them when it's not? I have to learn over the years it's not their fault. Is it their fault? Is it a lost person's fault that they're lost? No. We all, from the pastor down, need to be careful how we judge other believers. Other Christians, other preachers, other churches. It still angers me sometimes because people are not as vested and interested in God as they used to be. I know you got to agree with it. If we look at apostasy as other people, we always look at things as other people doing it, right? The family down the street are the ones doing all the sin. We don't stand by it. That's sometimes the way we think about it, isn't it? Everybody else is wrong, but I'm not wrong. We better judge ourselves because we are wrong. We're wrong a lot more than we think we are. It's not our fault, it's just the Lord hasn't showed us. If He enlightens us, we'll see it. But if we see it, do we follow it? Do we do it? Not always do we. Even as this church, we don't always do everything we're supposed to do. You know that most churches, I'm not talking about us, I'm not talking about the real churches, I'm talking about even the artificial churches, not the accounting churches, they do not support the weak and the poor like we should. Orphans, widows. My uncle, who was 47 years old when he had a heart attack and died. I had several uncles that died of heart attacks at 47 years old. And a brother died of a car accident at 47. I mean, I'm fortunate that I had 47. He used to support an open tongue all the time. I never understood it. Because he's supposed to. God told us to support the organs and witness, didn't he? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. We cannot force people to believe, can we? We can't force them to believe in Christ. We can't force them to believe the truth. We can't shove it down their throat. But what we can do is give them the opportunity to hear the truth. Lord told us going all the world. He didn't tell us to save people. He didn't tell us to change people. He told us to teach them. To preach the gospel and teach them. We plant the seed. We water the seed. But we can't make it grow. So let's go look at the Church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 and 2. I could read all this, but I don't have time. He says, and I, brother, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Isn't that something? You know, I've seen this many times, and just in last year, I've actually looked at it very closely. This is the church at Corinth that Paul went to preach and told them he couldn't speak to them as grown spiritual adults. Because they were unlearned. But what did Paul not do here? He didn't laugh at them. He didn't mock them. He didn't get on to them. He didn't call them ignorant and unlearned, did he? No, he said, you know, this is what I'm going to preach to you because this is what you understand. That's wonderful, isn't it? So Paul said, I'll speak to you not as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, like you're not even saved. Because you don't understand doctrine. Now, I'm going to speak to you like a bunch of lost people. That's what Carmel means. He's speaking to them like a bunch of lost people. In the very minor simplicity of the word, I guess we can say. Even as unto babes in Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. For here's two. You were not able to bear it. Neither are you able, are now able. So when dealing with God's people, especially God's churches, lots of godly love is needed. A lot of patience is needed. Not arrogancy, not prideful, not trying to make ourselves look like we're smart. But to bring ourselves down to other people's level and talk to them. I mean, when you talk to a baby, you don't walk up and say, you know how to start the car. Well, no, he don't. You know how to pour concrete, don't you? Well, no, he don't. No, you get down, you speak to him. You look like a fool trying to lay down on the floor and talk to a baby. Why do you do that? Because that's the way you talk to a baby, right? And that's what Paul said to this church right here. He said, I'm going to talk to you on your level. I'm not mad at you. I'm not, because God hasn't taught you yet. He will, and he did. Just not him yet. So let's go down to verse 16. Let me write it down. In verse 16 it says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" I'm sorry, but does anybody know the mind of God? I don't. I don't want to know. Do you want to know the mind of God? No. Jesus did. But do we want to know the mind of God? I mean, when you're looking at somebody, do you want to know, well, you got a day left, you're going to die. You're going to have a stroke tomorrow. You're going to have a... Do you really want to know what God knows? Even about yourself. He said, well, if I knew when I was going to die, if it was next week, I'd go out and have me a lot of fun before I died. No, you wouldn't. You sit there and worry yourself to death. Worry about dying. A believer has responsibilities to God. And that's to know as much as God will allow us to know. And once we know those things, to stand and walk in those things. Not to push them aside. And so, well, I grew up understanding it different. I don't care how you grew up understanding something. This right here is your only understanding. Right? It don't matter what your four past pastor taught you or what your mom and daddy or grandparents taught you. My daddy taught me how to be a drunk. I'm not a drunk. God rescued me from all that trash. So once a person is saved, we are become responsible to God to obey and follow his word. Wait till we get on the body deal this coming Sunday. We're going to understand how God controlled our body. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in our text scripture in verse 14. For God said, but the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because he's spiritually discerned. Go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Not subject to the law of God, and can't even be. What subject? And neither indeed can be. So then that they which are in flesh cannot please God. Poor people don't know it. I feel sorry for them. I pity them. I know it's awful the way people act. A lot of Christians act the same way, don't they? Sure they do. Listen, folks, if people want to get involved with what God said, you cannot serve God and a made-up God, man. One will cause you to despise or hate the other. I know I say that a lot, quote that a lot, but it's true. If you let this world get to you, it will cause you to despise God. That's what Satan wants. He wants Christians, God's own children, to despise God and the teachings of God, and they're doing it. Listen to me. I get on Facebook a lot and I say this stuff a lot and people tell me they don't even like it anymore. That's okay. I'll still say it. Because I'm not here to please people. God ordained me to preach the gospel. preach the word, not to worry about whose likes or who doesn't like it. So we say things. People are annoyed. They don't want to hear it anymore. They don't. They don't even want to hear it. Christians don't even want to hear it anymore. You know why? They're despising God. Their old hearts are callous to the truth. And they just despise the truth of God. Let me move on. See if I can finish this. I got 15 minutes. However, once a soul is saved, they are given bundles of gifts of God, aren't they? So lost people don't understand anything of God. They think they do, but they don't. My God would never do that. Well, that's because you don't serve God, you serve mammon. There's a difference between serving God and serving mammon. Mammon does have a heart. Mammon does do what you ask him to do and what you tell him to do. And you can control mammon, but you can't God. People hate what they can't control. So once we're saved, God starts giving us bundles of gifts. In verse 16, the second part of our text, the first part is, who had known the mind of the Lord. The second part is, as Christians who receive the blessings of God, who learn from his statutes of us, we are responsible not only to learn them, but also to walk in them. While God gives us understanding, God gives us knowledge, God gives us wisdom as he chooses for each one of us to have. Go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. As God gives us those blessed things he chooses us to have, we need to study and learn. You know what's voided today in that study and learn? The study. I'm not going to ask you to show up hand or anything, but how many of you spend 5 hours a week studying in God's Word? Actually sit down and study that. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Why? By a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hebrews 5. So we study, we learn, we do those things we study so that we won't be ashamed. Because if we're studying and we're learning and we're not doing those things of truth, we ought to be ashamed. We're Christians. We're children of God. We are a church. No, I'm not getting on to y'all. I have no idea what you do. You're a good church. You're good. You have good knowledge, good understanding. You have a good walk. More people than you will hear this message. It's not on Facebook, but it will be on our website. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. He says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. That's where we're at today, isn't it? People are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is to be the first principle of the oracles of God. Isn't that disgrace? Did you just hear what God said? He said, well, we should be teaching. We really need now they have a need to be taught again. The principles of the oracle to God. Because we're dull of hearing. And have become such as we have need of milk. Remember what Paul told the church at Corinth? Only if they ever knew the truth and just forgot it. You think? It's possible, isn't it? Because Lord says, you get to the point, and you do. If you don't study enough, you'll get to the point you forget things. And you need to go back and be retaught. You need to study the bottom line and come back up. And not a strong meat. Lord said you knew them, but you forgot them. And now that you forgot them, you can't handle them. And that's where a lot of people's at today. They're getting to the point they can't handle. They don't want to hear the Word of God. It's offensive to them. Is it? For everyone that uses milk. Listen, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age. Isn't it good to be full age? Strong meat belongs to them that are full age, and those who by reason have used their senses skewed to exercise and to discern both good and evil. Oh, God's so brilliant, isn't he? He sets us straight, doesn't he? He puts us in the gutter and drags us to it for a while, doesn't he? Colossians chapter 2, if you will. I'm going to finish this real quick. I got another 7 or 8 minutes. And I'm kind of moving on. Paul wrote to these words in the church of Colossae in Colossians chapter 1, I'm sorry, chapter 2. Verse 1, Paul wrote to this church, he said, for I would, I would that you knew the great conflict which I have for you and for those at Laodicea, for as many as you have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, knit together in love. And unto all the riches of the full assurance of their understanding. That's just totally different when he's telling you the church of Corinth, wasn't it? And to acknowledging of the mysteries of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures, whom are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's reason God gives them to us, isn't it? That's reason they're a gift, isn't it? And this I say, lest or that not any man should beguile you with enticing words. Lord just sent a big old red flag warning, didn't he? Don't let people entice you with worldly thinking. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ Jesus. You get all that? Go home and read it again. And then read it a second time and a third time. Every time you read it, you'll get just a little bit more from it. Now, dear Colossians, go back one chapter to chapter 1. So, this is or should be every pastor's prayer for every believing soul of Jesus Christ, especially for his church members. You know, pastors used to fall on their faces before the Lord and pray for their churches. Their churches were everything to them. And the pastor was everything to the church. There was a great love at one time between them, the church, the pastor, and the church, and the church, and the pastor. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, for this cause we might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what we've been talking about, isn't it? Being filled with it. And what will you learn? That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Study to show yourself approved unto God and stay on those things that you don't become ashamed before the Lord. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. That's our goal, isn't it? Or is it? Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthening with all might, according to the glory of his glorious power, not ours, but his, it's his gift to us, unto all patience. If God teaches you and you refuse to learn, why would God teach you anymore? I had teachers at school who used to throw the razor at the board and say, I'm not going to teach you no more. You're not listening. I don't understand that God's going to get angry like that at us. We're his children. He loves us with eternal love. But sometimes God just says, no more until you're ready. And all long-suffering joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the heritage of saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thank you, Lord! And whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Go to Isaiah 40. We'll end with this. This will end our lesson. Give me another 5 minutes or so, I'll be done. Maybe a couple of minutes faster. So as Christians who receive the blessings of God, who learn the statutes of God, because he teaches us them, we are responsible not only to learn them, but to walk in them. I'm pulling a gin on you. She does that. We need to walk in them. Walk in them. Don't, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves. Not some truths, all the truths. But he said, we have the mind of Christ, do we? And the last verse of the second verse 17 in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, but we have the mind of Christ about us. The quote is here. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have to know the mind of the Lord for the Lord to instruct us, right? He goes on to say in verse 17, I believe it is, of our text. I'm sorry, I should have sent you back there. I didn't have it on my notes. I just have it here. But we who have the mind of Christ, we who have the mind of Christ, have known the mind of the Lord because the Lord has taught it to us. Albert Barnes said, the argument of Paul in this, no one can understand God, no one can fully comprehend his plans, his feelings, his views, his designs. No one by nature, under the influence of sense and passion, is either disposed to investigate his truth or to or loves them when they are revealed. But the Christians are influenced by God. I go to Isaiah 40. Verse 12 through 15. Who hath measured the waters and the hollow of his hand? And who hath melted out the heavens with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountain in a scale and the hills in a balance? Are you listening to this? This is the difference between God and us. Who have directed the Spirit of the Lord? And who's been his counselor and has taught him? Well, people think they teach God, don't they? But they really don't. Verse 14, with whom he took counsel. God needed counsel? No, he's omniscient, isn't he? Who has instructed him? Who has taught him in the path of judgment and taught him in knowledge? A lot of people like to, don't they? They just, preachers love getting the pulpit telling God what he can and can't do. Well, we can't tell God what he can and can't do. God can do anything God chooses to do. And show to him the way of understanding. A lot of people like to tell God how to understand things, don't they? Well, God, you're supposed to be like me, you know. You're supposed to think like me, God. Verse 15, behold, the nations are but a drop in the bucket and are counted as small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. If you do not have the mind of Christ about you, you will never understand God. If you're not a Christian, you will never. A lot of people might well stop. And a lot of saved people might well stop because they're not studying God's Word. If you're not going to study the Word of God, you're not going to learn about God. You're not going to learn the oracles of God. You're not going to learn the statutes of God. You're not going to learn the will of God. You're not going to learn nothing about God if you do not study to show yourself approved unto God. Well, you just said God teaches it to us. Yeah, you know what? My teacher used to teach me math. But if I didn't go home and study my homework, I never would learn math, would I? I didn't study my homework, and therefore I don't know the math. I went up here the other day to do an application at this employment place up here, and they had this long division. How long has it been since you did long division? Huh? I looked at it like it was, you know, what is this? I knew long division, but what is it anymore? I mean, I just wanted to grab my phone and you. I said, you know, when I was still, we didn't have these phones like this. We did this stuff, but they don't do it no more, I bet you. Anyway, I thank you for being patient with me. Hope you enjoyed that study.